Hello, good morning. So we're going to go way backwards in time to the actual process of producing the content that you are all protecting. And in that process, we're producing not just content, but we're producing contracts and crew lists and health records and everything. I mean, all of the IP as far as the chain of title. And all of these things contribute to the actual value of the product that we're selling. In fact, it's how we determine how much it costs. Everything changed in production for me when an iPad appeared, not an iPhone. Everyone had iPhones already, but they hadn't figured out that they were computers yet. And then a gentleman showed up, we were in Moscow, with an iPad, and it completely changed production. Because suddenly, everyone understood that what they had in their hand enabled them to actually do their job right there, and to they could wander anywhere with it. And it actually changed how they thought about their laptop, their phone, everything. And it also, the film industry and the television industry, we like to save money. And the power of these devices became extremely affordable for our crew. And so we started expecting them to bring them as tools of trade. And we didn't realize that we were actually handing them all our IP and putting them in control of all of the information we were generating on our movies. Until some of us, I was a physical production executive, would be trying to put together the chain of title, or we'd be trying to put together a pickup shoot and post, and realize that we were missing tons of information because it had gone home with our crew. And that's not to mention crew taking pictures on set, or now they're able to stream, you know, Facebook Live from the set. So the threats have completely changed in how we work. And we talked about legacy. We just really have to throw out how we used to work and start new. So my co-panelists, Joel, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yep. My name is Joel Sloss. I'm a program manager for Azure. I'm responsible for our audit and compliance strategies for a cloud platform, working with a number of different organizations and, you know, the major studios and other software providers to build content protection solutions for the media industry.
Chris?
Hi, I'm Chris Johnson. I'm told we have to make a joke. My name is Jetlag Johnson. but I seem to be on different sides of the pond on a daily basis at the moment. I head up the Global Compliance Program for the Content Delivery Security Association.
I'm Mark Nakano. I'm the Senior Director of Product Marketing and Partnerships for NextGuard. We're basically a forensic watermarking company, and we were just acquired by the previous company that was speaking, Nagra.
Okay. So I want to start by talking with Chris, or having Chris talk about the BYOD world of production a little bit, and what are some of the solutions we can use?
Okay, so welcome to the Wild West, everyone, because literally that's pretty well what it is. So there's been a lot of success of late in the post-production upstream towards distribution to the end user. We've made great inroads in the last couple of years into securing that part of the creative supply chain. But unfortunately, as the proliferation of BYOD and technology has hit production space, we don't seem to have made the same sort of ground in those areas, and there's still an awful lot of work to do. So what we've got is, at the moment, a trend to, despite the security risks that exist, embrace the practice of extensive use of BYOD in the production and actually previs space. You've got employees who expect it, and you've got execs, who someone said earlier on the previous panel, who actually demand it. And that's really where the largest challenges grow. So to understand how to do that, what we're going to have to do is we are going to have to create some standards. And we're talking about the very front end, cutting edge of creativity. They don't really work well to standards. It doesn't sort of meet hand in glove with creativity very well. So in order to get those standards home, what we've got to try and do is to change the cultural behavior and the cultural awareness that exists within the production space. So there's two ways really where we can do that. We can either have a very friendly, forward-looking endpoint manager who's the best buddy of the director and producer, or we can give them a device that we've secured and that they can operate that device to use all their creative content workflow. But assuming that that's probably not always going to be a reality, certainly not on all shows, then we're going to have the normal sort of BYOD risk that sits around any sort of business, and we've got to try and mitigate that to a reasonable level. So you've got things like the vulnerability of the software that's installed on the device. So we've got to find a way of having some form of approved software list. We're going to have some form of acceptable use policy. Again, a very, very big challenge for the execs in the production space. You're probably going to have examples of adware, spyware. We're going to need to put the security patches on those. Just the real basics that you would think are going to be already there aren't going to be in place. We've got some good technologies coming forward. We've got browser technology, secure browser technology that takes the browser traffic off to a sandbox environment where it'll act as a sort of a firewall and check all of those activities. That could be quite successful in terms of ransomware and threats such as that. We're going to try and enforce single sign-on, management of single sign-on, so that we can have multi-factor authentications. It's a bit like peeling the onion again, standard security stuff really, MAC address identifications. I don't know, if we're looking at sensitive content, then we'd even want to identify the IP address and only allow access to that IP address. So on and so forth. The real big challenge with this is that when you're talking to the producer or director, this is going to impact on their privacy. We're going to be looking at their device. We're going to be seeing everything else that's on it. That's the cultural thought process that they go to, whereas we're looking at it from purely trying to secure the content. And then I'd just add one more thing that's coming around the corner, is that on these devices, we're going to have a lot of PII. And a lot of these shows, although they may be US funded, actually are being shot in the EU. Germany and the UK particularly has great tax benefits for this sort of production activity at the moment. And in May next year, on the 25th of May, we've got the General Data Privacy Regulation coming into force. And my personal belief is that this industry isn't necessarily ready for that. It hasn't really started to think about it. Certainly has at a corporate level, but not necessarily the impact at a production level. So that's my sort of round robin of it.
Yes, I think we need to really consider all the different endpoint management systems that are out there. I think the hardest part for productions is managing them. At my previous employer, we tried endpoint management. We tried several different brands, and in the end, we decided it was better to issue devices. It didn't actually cost us more, because we already were reimbursing people for their computers, we were already reimbursing them for their phones, so instead we provided their computers and their phones, and it made a huge difference. But there are solutions out there that really do allow us to see what the devices are doing, to manage whether they've been patched, whether they have all the updated systems, and it's really worth our while to, at a minimum, install those. But we do have the problem of acceptance and feeling like we're being spied on. I think finding a brand with the right name helps. So, you know, some brands' names, you know, really are scary to the end user, and some are friendly to the end user. So that's another piece of it. The next area that I'm going to throw in at Joel is all about cloud computing, the world, the authorized versus the shadow, and email, and how we can secure all of that nowadays.
Sure. So not a broad topic at all. So I think within the cloud, we have to deal with a few different things. Some of it was touched on in the first panel this morning of dealing with protecting content in a connected world. And you know, we're entering that phase of the technology where being connected to the internet is no longer a choice, because when you start thinking about the scalability that's required to keep up with the number of productions, the scale of productions, you know, as you start moving from, you know, standard HD to ultra to eventually, you know, 8K and VR surround and you know, all of these things that are driving just, you know, massive amounts of data, you know, individual organizations, particularly small shops, people working out of their homes, they don't have the capability to support that on their own. They don't have racks of servers. They don't have entire data centers. The only place that you can get that is going to be in the cloud. So once you start, you know, moving content, and you're having to trust, hosting providers, you're having to trust your network providers with your crown jewels, you need to start thinking in broader terms about, you know, what are the systems that are being put into place to protect that? What is it that the cloud provider is enabling? What are your software partners putting into place to protect that? So, you know, you now have to start thinking about, how is email being handled? How is secure document storage being managed? How is basic storage being protected, whether it's, you know, encryption or, you know, physical access? You know, you want to stop that person from taking the three hard drives across the street. You want to give access to information, but only, you know, access that is appropriate to the person that needs it when they need it. And always have control and visibility into what's going on. So there's all of these different factors pulling people towards, needing a unified system, but being able to protect it at the same way. So no matter what kind of content it is, whether, you know, it's somebody sending a contract in email, or if it's, you know, a digital daily on a production, you know, how do you know what's going on? Who's got access to your information? How are you preventing, you know, a contract from being, exposed to the press? These are the kinds of things that we're looking at from the cloud perspective, and using, you know, standards like the CDSA to provide guidelines, to provide, points of enforcement to help people understand what it is that they need to do and be able to take those kinds of actions. So I don't know, does that answer the question?
A little bit, yep. I would also say that there are more and more tools for us to use. A really simple one is it's very quick and easy to set up an email domain for a production. And immediately you get control of the communications happening on your production. It makes it easier to control the access than if you're letting everyone use their personal email. There are solutions for file sharing that are more secure than others, and by using proper endpoint management, et cetera, and having a vetted and controlled file sharing system that is easy to use, that is, more importantly, equally easy to use as their personal Dropbox, then you can steer them to adopting working in a secure environment versus their own environment. So it's really critical to make it super, super easy, but at the same time, there are tools that are extremely familiar to them, so they don't have to change how they work, but that you can actually control within the production. Then there's some deterrent type tools that are out there. So,
yeah, so what we do is we're in forensic watermarking. So what that is it allows you to track any kind of asset that you deliver you can track it individually. So we're kind of like the last line of defense, right? So we don't really rely on any kind of DRM. So like what Joel is saying, you know, he can secure the assets, you know, his video and audio assets. He can encrypt them. He can DRM them. He can do all of that stuff. But what's to prevent somebody from just screen capturing it or camcording it? Nothing, right? So we're kind of the last line of defense in that. If you do that, we can still trace it back to whose copy was that, right? So currently, you know, we are in digital cinema. We protect all of the digital projections right now. And we also are in post-production. So a lot of our partners, whenever they send things, when the studios send assets out, either for distribution or for, you know, working on them, they usually watermark it before they send it out so that they can tell where the leak came from, right? We're looking at moving further up the line into kind of production with, you know, talking to some partners such as Codex, right? And what that allows you to do is it allows you to now make everything traceable, but it also helps to prevent this like accidental piracy. So I think Steven or Ben was talking about, oh yeah, well, you have an executive and he's on his iPad or iPhone and he's showing, you know, the clip or, hey, look, the guy's still alive, right? So normally that kind of stuff's not protected. It's not really encrypted or anything, but if you actually put a watermark on it, now you can see, hey, what happened? Why did that thing leak? Or who did it leak from, right? And that's kind of what we do. It's more a traceability thing to kind of help prevent the next step of, or the next time piracy, right? So it doesn't necessarily prevent the first time, but if you know you have this person that's always leaking stuff, you're not gonna give that person content again, right? So that's kind of what we do.
Yeah, and I think what's exciting right now is that you know, when I started trying to figure this out a couple of years ago, most of the tools were so draconian that they basically made it impossible for the creatives to work. And I do think the security industry has listened, and we're able to create methods to secure our information that work in the background, and the creatives don't necessarily even need to know that it's happening. It can just happen automatically. There are systems out there where we can encrypt every file as soon as it's saved to the server, so that within the user database, we already have the permission set up. The creator has no idea that the file they've just saved is encrypted. We can do that today. And we can make it so that everyone on the production can open the file and has no idea it's encrypted. But if someone emails it or shares it outside of the trusted network, it doesn't open. That's doable today. I think there are other interesting tools. I mean, we've relied on air gapping editorial. I argue that there's no such thing as air gapping anything because a smartphone can be brought in, and this happened to us on the last show I did at New Regency. For totally legitimate, honest reasons, they couldn't get information to the visual effects house. They were out of time. They had to get the, you know, director changed the shot. They needed this new shot to get to the visual effects house today. They were air gapped. They couldn't figure out how to do it. Someone brought out their iPhone, plugged it into the Avid, and literally sent the file. And on the one hand, it was like, yay, you solved the problem today. And it's like, holy schmoly, you could have sent the whole movie. And so I do believe that actually connecting our editorial systems to the cloud, not allowing them to install email on their Avid or anything like that, but having it connected so that we can have eyes on it, so that we can turn from a remote distance, turn on or off the ports, decide and know when they're putting information onto a drive to take across town, that we actually have a record, a log of that transfer of information. I think that is far more secure than having a room that we have no eyesight into that's across the ocean, and we don't know when they are copying information to an external drive and who they're sending it to or who they're sharing it with or what iPhone they're using. So I do think that today it's about putting together a smart collection of these tools, but I do believe they are really out there, and the bigger challenge is, in fact, managing them and finding the budgets to manage them. I applaud Disney for saying that they're going to keep that budget on their side so the creatives can't argue about it being part of their budget. I think that's very smart. At my last job, I actually analyzed the budgets of the last 2 years of movies and extracted all the money we had actually spent on IT that was buried in every department because everyone was solving the problems themselves. And in fact, found more than enough money to cover most of the recommendations. The only part that I could not cover was adding an actual IT manager on production. That was a new cost, a new position, but I would argue a fairly essential position on shows today. So any questions or thoughts or comments? Closing thoughts, any comments, guys?
Only that I think we're at the point where we're close to having a single set of solutions out of a box, but it's not one, it needs to be product agnostic. It's more of a workflow and a process thing, but we are getting close to that.
Yep.
All right. That's it. Thank you so much.